Hi, everybody. Welcome. It's Mary Lou Tyler. Today's guest is Mark McNamara. He is a sales knowledge architect, and a title that I like of his is Chief Enablement Strategist over at The Value Shift. Now, Mark has a lot of experience in the term enablement. I know that's a term that we hear a lot lately, sales strategy, sales enablement, sales knowledge. And I really wanted you to listen to Mark because he's approaching essentially the ability to generate predictable revenue, top of funnel, but he goes probably all the way to close. But we're going to concentrate mostly on top of funnel with Mark today. And I want him to share with us his experiences in readying the sales team so that you more consistently generate sales qualified opportunities, but also you're building predictable revenue because you're building a predictable lead generation engine. So Mark, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you, Mary Lou.
So tell us, this Chief Enablement Strategist, I love that title. What does that mean to you?
Well, what it means to me, and most importantly to people who work with me, is I come in and I help them think through how to actually enable their team to be more productive. And, you know, it's funny that you mentioned the whole concept of the word enablement, because that's not really a word, right? But if you look up the word enable, it's really about helping, giving people assistance in achieving a goal or completing a task. So what I try to do is come in, talk to, look at a customer's environment, the context, the culture, okay, and take the important work that's being done around, you know, how to sell and the information and the knowledge and tools, and put that into an architecture, a delivery system that ultimately will have sales using it appropriately, not just being able to find it, but having the coaching built into it and having the trainings or learnings built into that, that make them the most effective at what they can do at their job.
Now, we talk a lot about aligning our sales to the buyer's journey, which is a term or a phrase that's thrown around a lot, but you really live that in that you're working, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you're working with sales professionals to be able to articulate conversation, no matter where the record or where the person or where the buyer is sitting physically in the pipeline, but also you're taking it even deeper to get an understanding of behaviorally where people are in their heads and their thought process, and helping the sales executives recognize A, where they're at, and B, what to say, how to say it, when to say it, with whom to say it. And this is all done with leveraging technology, correct?
That is correct. And what's interesting about what we do with technology is really about making it as flexible and responsive to the user. You know, when you talk about the buyer's journey, it's great. And we've all been mapping that for a long time. But I had a great mentor who told me once that, you know, selling is an art and a science. It's not discrete. And by looking all of that data and saying, well, here's how the buyer buys. Well, maybe, right? But we know in sales conversations, things may jump around. They may not be linear. You may have more than one party on the line, and buyers may not all be in the same place of that journey, right? Mm-hmm. So how do you effectively serve up that information, that knowledge, to that salesperson during that conversation or wherever they may be, whether it's in their car, whether they're in person in front of a customer, or they're on the phone presenting over the web? So there's a lot that goes into that to think about, not just providing them, you know, in some cases in Salesforce or some other tool, here's the step of the sale or the journey or the opportunity, and here's the content that belongs here. There needs to be, I think, a broader context to help educate the salesperson and let them make good qualified decisions in and out of that and respond to their behaviors as well.
So a lot of times when we're focused on top of funnel, we tend to be activity-based. What you're saying is that you're offering, the way you help people is to look contextually as to where things are and what the best decisions are to make. And activity follows, but it's not driven by activity. Is that a correct statement?
Yes. It's driven, well, it's driven by activity because you have to ask the right questions and know, did I accomplish what I needed to accomplish? You know, we mm-hmm. write a lot of playbooks that says, you know, don't go to this activity till this is completed. But to your point, I think it's important to know that we're not dealing with automatons. We're dealing with people who we want to give them the right information and knowledge to help them make good, qualified decisions, right? Mm-hmm. So that's what we're really responding to, is to say, yes, here's an outline, but more importantly, we want them to create competencies around recognizing where they are, not being told where they are, right? And know when they hear certain words and experience certain things, they can pivot quickly on that and be able to respond to it. Because I think, and maybe you agree, Mary Lou, that things can be lost and your effort can be wasted if you're merely following a process and not recognizing, you know, the fact that somebody just leapfrogged over something and you don't have to go through that process, you may actually frustrate somebody. And I've seen a lot in junior people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when I referenced activity, I mean the number of dials or the number, just the action of doing something, as opposed to sitting back and thinking through, where is this person that I'm going to have this conversation with, or that I'm trying to have this conversation with? Where is he in his head right now? What can I say that will get him to lean in and recognize that all is not well? You know, that we have problems. There are problems out there. And your tools allow the reps, once they are in the top of funnel. So, the premise is that we've identified the right person already when we start engaging with your type of work.
Exactly.
And that so there is some work we need to do top of funnel to get to the right person. And we have leverage technology for that. We have a pretty good way of doing that. Where people are getting stuck, a majority of my clients are getting stuck, is in the meaningful conversation. Mm-hmm. They don't know what to say, what to do, how to say it, when to say it, and to whom to say it. So that's where I think when I talk activity, it's not about the number of dials. It's not about the number of connects. It's not about the number of conversations. It's about the number of meaningful conversations. And so having a tool or having a process in place like you're describing would give us the opportunity to have more quality conversations, thereby increasing the likelihood that we're going to get from point A to point B faster and with more quality, which is going to be a better return on the effort for the sales executive.
No question. And if I didn't mean to, I think I misunderstood your comment in the beginning, but to that point, yes, I'm in 100% there that it's all about the conversation. And we have a process which results in something called the conversation coach, which actually solves that problem. It gives people information at their fingertips to listen for and recognize and think about where that prospect is in their thinking and how to unstick them at any particular place, right? Mm-hmm. And don't throw somebody away before you've actually explored that, because we know we don't want to waste effort. But at the same time, if we've taken the time with the number of dials to bring somebody in the boat and they're clearly stating they have a problem, let's make sure that we can give them enough to keep it moving along and recognize the value of what we can do for them, because we're here to help, right? Salespeople are about helping customers.
Yes. And I think to your point about, you know, marketing is spending a lot of time generating the hand raisers for us. And if we are good about our record selection and we're targeting accounts, then theoretically, by definition, anyone who bubbles up to the top is worthy of a conversation. So we can't waste that. We can't, just because they've given us an objection, or we haven't been able to get a hold of them, or we haven't said something to them that, you know, gets them thinking, wow, I really should spend 5 to 10 minutes talking to these folks, because they've hit me, you know, right in the heart of what my problems probably are. And I never recognize it that way. That's where the types of tools that you provide come in so handy, because, and that's where most of my folks get stuck. We, you know, we can get people to bubble up to the top of at least responding to us, but then you have to take that conversation to something meaningful. And that's where I see a lot of people losing those records and losing those leads into some, you know, abyss of a bucket that we can never recover from. So we become this sort of, you know, non-ending revolving door of just getting leads in, but the conversion rate from the lead to a qualified opportunity suffers. And then I'm not an expert in opportunity to close, but I can only imagine that it also suffers there.
It does. It even goes into customer care. It doesn't stop with, you know, once you close business, but particularly with SaaS companies and, you know, those who want to expand their relationships. I'm finding even working with customer care organizations, it's problematic because they don't have the right sort of challenges and questions to ask and insights to give their customer to have them realize that there's value in either something else we have or just changing the way you do things.
Yeah, and that's a good point, because I know a lot of us are users of SaaS products where we have renewals, sometimes after a year, sometimes two, depending. And I've never been happy with getting a renewal notice where I haven't heard from the company. You know, after I bought the product, I hadn't heard from them at all until it's time to renew now, you know, so that I think those are areas of improvement that we could see very quickly if we bring them into the fold of conversation that's enlightening, that helps me do my job better, that helps me use their tool to get better results in my daily life.
Yeah. And and sometimes I simplify it down, and companies seem to respond to this. And you said it so eloquently, Mary Lou, is that we don't need demoers. We need problem solvers.
Right.
And you have to be able to go in and have this conversation about understanding the prospect customer's problem and having a meaningful conversation to get them to go, oh, yes, of course, that makes sense to me. Let's keep talking, right? Instead of, you see too many organizations, particularly in technology, where, well, I got you on the phone. Would you like to see a demonstration? And I think the big challenge that I'm seeing, I don't know what your observations are, but there's high commoditization around solutions in the technology world, especially, and it's hard to differentiate your value. And that's the big problem that's happening. They don't know how to express themselves in regards to helping that customer first realize they have a problem that can be solved, and then how we uniquely add value to them.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny. The information is there for the rep. I mean, if you're in a larger company, chances are marketing has put together spec sheets. They've done a lot of different posts and blog posts and infographics and this and that and these and those about all the product stuff. But to have it available at your fingertips so that if you hear some keyword that then immediately allows you to scan potential scenarios of how to help the customer or the prospect recognize that what they're talking about is severe enough so that it's worth their time to continue conversation with you. That's where people are just falling down. And it's not as if we don't have the information. It's just that the information is so vast and spread out in the corporation, or we just don't have it at our fingertips, that, and if we're not studying it on a daily basis, We just are not going to have it ingrained in our, you know, in our body language or just our body itself as to how to overcome all of these things. So having the ability to have a repository of result information at your fingertips for a rep, especially since we're talking to a lot of people top of funnel, I think is just a great way for the reps to feel more confident, more competent, and they'll be able to have these conversations with their prospect personas, no matter what level of the organization they're talking to.
Yeah, and what you just said had me kind of sum up what we do in that regard in a couple of words. One is it's a packaging problem, right? Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. an accessibility problem, and it's a reinforcement problem. So right. what we do and what I try to architect is create packages of knowledge, learnings, and content that are contextually oriented and get continuously reinforced, because out of sight, out of mind, I may not have spoken to that person about that solution for months. So how do I keep things fresh in my mind, and how do we keep reinforcing that value proposition and that ability in the sales professional's mind on a regular basis?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's why I think if you're a sales manager listening to this call, you know, I get it. You know, they say training doesn't work, and you know that people, once they're trained, a week later they forgot it all. And so I kind of agree with that, because if you're not using it, you're going to lose it. You know, if you're not constantly studying it, then you're not going to necessarily be as sharp. And like you just said, if you're talking to a prospect about product A and then you don't have any more product A conversations for the rest of the month, you're just not going to be as sharp. It's impossible to retain all that knowledge and all those scenarios and all those kind of scripts and plays and whatnot in your head. So I like the idea of what you're doing, in that you're enabling the reps to have this information at their fingertips. Their recall is very easy, and there's also a what if condition set in, and what's the next step. That's one of my biggest pet peeves that I see a lot with reps, is that they don't have an idea of what the next step should be. They don't have an idea of what they should be suggesting as the next step. So having these conversation kind of scenarios already set up for them, I think we should see, I mean, I don't know, you can tell us, but we should see a rise in the conversion rates. Have you experienced that with your clients, that once this is in place, because it's there and it's becoming enriched, I would imagine there's an enrichment process where you're learning and adding more to the system as life goes on and you have more conversations. But do you see a pretty good rise in the conversion rates all across the pipeline?
We do, and it's supported in other research as well. But when customers actually execute well and they support adoption, meaning up and down as a vehicle to do this, there's definitely a rise in conversion rates. And one other point is you know, CSO Insights point out, and we started this whole thing as a result, is that those who have a knowledge culture, compared to those who don't, in a fluid knowledge culture, see a 25% differential between in revenue attainment and quota attainment in those that don't. So there's a lot of just not my anecdotal research, but other research out there as well.
Actual quantitative research, which is great. Yeah. So let's talk nuts and bolts. If, you know, okay, I'm a curious person. I want to know, like, how did, you know, just a high level, how does one build the repository? Because, you know, when I'm working with clients, just to give you a background, we're working on emails for our cold engine, for example. Let's decide we take the cold engine first to tackle. Then we're collecting a repository of whatever content, whatever surveys, whatever touch points, anything related to the prospect and customers that we can get our hands on. And then we dump it in this big pot. And then from there, we flip it sideways. We do some qualitative research on it to pull out keywords, et cetera, et cetera. And we come up with eventually an 8-type sequence of emails that we think are going to enable people to raise the hand faster. So what do you do if you're a manager sitting here thinking, this is great, but we have information everywhere? What's the process to start collecting the data and putting it into the engine look like?
Not dissimilar to what you just described. I mean, we have I know it's funny how all things align, but we start with typically looking at what somebody might call a playbook, or more importantly, getting underneath that playbook and looking at the what we call the value conversation inventory, meaning, and it's, I think it's a lot of the work that you do, Mary Lou, that I get excited about, is to say, these messages, these insights, these questions, right, have mm-hmm. all been thought through relative to how you're going to engage, both from a prospecting and then even on a further down the pipeline, and flesh that out. Does it exist, right? Mm-hmm. And in some cases, I'm going into organizations and none of that material is available.
Yeah, the one thing that I find is I go through blog posts. They may be the competitor's blog posts, or they may be the client's. I look at any type of reviews that I can find, and I dump everything into as much as possible to get the language. I dump things into a database, and then from there, create a qualitative analysis and almost like a sentiment database mm-hmm. that allows us by persona. We try to break it up by persona too, because we want to segment down to the person. I mean, sales is a person-to-person dialogue. It's not company-to-company. It's not right. The sales rep to people. It's rep to client. You know, it's one-to-one. So we really look at how these people are talking, because it's different. If, like, I have clients maybe sell to IT, maybe sell to sales, for example. Those mm-hmm. are two different language sets. It's like two different languages completely. So we're constantly looking at trying to glean information, whether it's theirs or not, and come up with the value that we bring to the table, what the do's are, you know, what the product does that's maybe different or an outlier or something different, a lockout, I call it, that we can say, you know, yeah, that's great that they do that, but this is how we do it, and this is why it matters to you. So we collect all that and put it in then to, in our case, we have worksheets, we have trees, we have, you know, different types of matrices that we use in order to be able to generate the email engine. So it is similar to what you're saying that you guys do. Now, once they get it in there and they actually start having conversations, is there a way for us to track the conversations that are gleaning the fastest pipeline velocity with the highest quality? Are there mechanisms that are built into the document engine so that we can see which conversations are yielding more revenue more quickly and of more lifetime value?
Yes, and that's really dependent on what their CRM is and how they're tracking their own records. And let me explain.
Okay.
We have a system. Our technology works with something called the XAPI, okay, mm-hmm. which tracks all the interactions with content, whether you're sending something to a customer or you're consuming it yourself. And part of our architecture is to go in and say, okay, what CRM are you using? Okay. And how do you want to relate what's being used here to seeing how it's affecting your pipeline? Easy enough to do is if you're doing, you know, pipeline management inside of your CRM, we then match the result to the activity that you're performing to each individual record, and then take that back and can give you some very good analytics on how well the performance support is assisting in the close of a deal or moving it faster from a velocity perspective.
Cool. So I don't want to overwhelm everybody. And we've kind of gone through a good discussion to get them exposed to what's out there in terms of helping sales professionals have better conversations that are more meaningful in nature with their prospects. So with the goal of creating, you know, a fan base of clients who will recommend you to other companies if you're selling B2B, and also a longer lifetime value. So I hope that this podcast has gotten you guys kind of thinking, wow, this is a cool thing. So Mark, how would someone get a hold of you to have further discussions around the assembly, the activation, and the optimization of a product or service like yours?
They're welcome to reach out to me on LinkedIn or go to our website, which is thevalueshift.com. And my email address for everybody out there is M McNamara. My last name is McNamara at thevalueshift.com. Happy to reply back or have a conversation if anyone's interested.
Very good. So for you guys, it's actually the T-H-E value shift, all stuck together, .com. And, you know, this is an area where we can provide you with all the technology to get velocity in terms of records at top of funnel. But where the rubber hits the road is that you guys have got to be able to have meaningful conversations with your prospects and, you know, gently pull them through the pipeline in a way that's going to increase the velocity to close. And the way you do that is by working harder and understanding why change, why now, and why you. Now, this is a tool that allows you to get there faster because we've encapsulated all of the potential sales conversations in a tool. And it's also designed to help the team know which conversations are causing people to bubble up faster, which ones are responsible for higher close rates, and which conversations are going to yield clients who are going to stay with us longer. So it's really the next step in, especially if you're a process geek, like if you're listening to this podcast, chances are you are, this is the, you know, one of the tools you're going to want to take a look at, because if you're on the fence about training and knowing that periodic training is not the way to go, this is everyday training. This is intra-day training that's available to the reps, and they're only going to get better. And I think that, you know, in terms of tools to help enablement, a tool like this that allows all of the sales conversations to be repositoried, that's not even a word, but in a repository for easy access is going to be the next level of getting predictable revenue. Mark, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Mary Lou. Thanks, everybody, for listening.